In any case, it's too much, too many names, too many bottles, everything's looking the same, and it's just, I'm sorry, but it's just not expensive enough. Hello and welcome back to Put the Lotion in the Basket. I am Patrick.
And I am Anna.
And here we are again. It just feels like the time just whizzes by before
it does.
You're back in this kitchen with a microphone in your hand.
It sure does.
And again, lots to talk about.
A lot to talk about. Still love the kitchen. Still, I love the candles. You've got some candles. And I like that you always have a recipe propped up next to the stove, like a recipe holder thing with a recipe. Yeah. It always looks good.
We're big advocates of HelloFresh in this house. And I typically cook a HelloFresh meal for me and my boyfriend every evening.
Oh, I love
because
that.
Because I just enjoy it. And I just listen to a podcast. I don't listen to our podcast because that would be a little bit narcissistic.
Yes, I agree.
But I listen to a podcast.
I don't either. Well, I listen to the beginning and the end when it comes out to make sure that we didn't have any technical snafus or that I didn't upload the wrong audio. Yeah. And then of course.
Yeah, we just send it into the universe, you know? So anyway, yeah. So thank you for the kitchen compliments. I mean, who knew that the kitchen would be the place we would make this podcast happen? Last week, you had a lot to say about the Trader Joe's tea tree oil face wash.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of taken aback by how much of a fan you were of this product. So that very same day, I went to Trader Joe's. I did need to buy some flowers as well, but I threw a bottle of the... is it Trader Joe's Spa face wash with tea tree oil?
Yes.
Is that the one?
That's the one.
Yes, this is it. Okay, overall review, I really like it.
Yes.
I'll tell you what I like about it. I love the consistency of it. It's very much like a liquid, like a fine liquid. And it lathers in your hands almost instantly when it comes into contact with water. So that by the time you put it on your face, your face is already kind of engulfed in these really pleasant suds.
Yes.
And I can just feel debris being removed with every stroke of my fingers, you know? And it rinsed off really well, like a really good cleanser should. Just the right balance between that squeak but not that dry. All the stuff you were saying is true. Now, the first time I used it, I got a tiny bit in my eye.
Ooh, yeah.
And I nearly lost an eye.
Yes, that is a downside to this cleanser.
My God.
Yes.
Like, they should put a warning on the packaging. Wear sunglasses, if you can, when you're putting on this face wash. Because I'm telling you, if you get it in your eye, you will never forget it.
It is brutal. It's awful. Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you're eating an orange and you peel the orange and the juice squirts into your eye. It's like that, but times five.
It's so bad. And I've done it with my contact lenses in before. Oh. And that's just like horrible, horrible, horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the tea tree.
I think it's the tea tree oil. Yeah.
And they say natural products are not harmful. They are harmful to your eyes, let me tell you. But I don't want to dwell on that. It was a minor blip. I now keep my eyes firmly shut when I'm putting this stuff on. And I've got to say, it's a great way to start my day and my skincare routine in the morning.
Love it.
So thank you.
You're welcome. And your skin's looking good.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank you. I think you're being a little bit kind. I'm having a few... Anyway, I sound like a broken record. I just want Botox, and it's going to happen real soon. And when it does, I'll be telling everybody about it.
I can't wait.
Yeah, no, I can just about financially justify it in the next kind of couple of weeks. So
yes.
Yeah, it's happening. So what are we talking about today, Anna?
Okay, so our main topic of conversation is peptides.
Ah, yes, the P word.
Yeah, now we talked about these briefly once before, quite quite a while ago, many episodes ago, I think there was an article that had come out at the time about how Jennifer Aniston gets peptide injections.
Yes.
For her skin, to rejuvenate her skin. And we had talked a little about it then, but today we're going to do more of a deep dive, partly because there was an article that came out on goop.com this week. The headline of the article is, "Can peptides help with longevity, recovery, youthful skin, and more?"
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to read you the first paragraph just to set the stage for what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Can a peptide injection help repair a torn ACL, speed healing after a facelift, treat autoimmune issues, improve mental health, or extend our lifespan? The medical community is divided on the issue, but some practitioners, many of them naturopaths, and some patients see them as the next wave in medicine, with treatments for myriad ailments and the potential for fewer side effects than conventional medications. So,
quite a sell.
It is. So that's partly just to set the stage to say that this is a whole realm of medicine, and it's being used in lots and lots of ways, which we're going to dip into a little bit. But what we... Our conversation today is all aimed at getting to what this means for skincare, how this translates into something that you can do tomorrow for your skin, whether peptide serums that you put on your face topically are worth it, and some product discussion of ones that exist. So fear not, listeners. We might take a winding road to get there. Yeah. But that is what where we're going to end up.
Yeah, we just care about what it does for the skin.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I feel like the context is important.
Yeah, I agree, because mm-hmm. I read this article and it taught me a lot of things I didn't know about peptides. That they are, well, let's start with a definition of a peptide.
Oh, yes. And so here's also where I want to say, I spoke this week to a peptide expert and I brought that conversation to... enhance our discussion. So we're going to hear some of that interview, and we're going to, this is going to be a full-on education. I'll leave a lot of the explanation to Dr. Suzanne Free. She is the CEO of Vine Medical Associates, which is in Atlanta. And she wrote a book called Counterclockwise: Using Peptides to Renew, Rejuvenate, and Rediscover.
Ooh.
Yes. So she's a medical doctor. She's a real expert in this field. We had a long conversation. So yeah, let's jump right in. So one of the things I asked her is that exact question you posed. What even is a peptide? What is it? So she explained that basically they are protein fragments. But let me play you her explanation.
Mm. Peptides in general were created in the 1920s. Discovered in the 1920s because our bodies naturally make them. These are strings of amino acids. So think about when a chicken breast, if you break that down, we know that chicken breast is protein. If proteins are strings of amino acids that are more than 150 amino acids long, that's the scientific way that we describe it. The peptides are less than 50 amino acids long. So when those long strings of amino acids are broken down in the body, they're broken down into smaller chunks. And those smaller chunks have another purpose in the body often. So familiar ones to us are insulin, oxytocin from having babies. We make oxytocin and they give us the prescription Pitocin. The oxytocin is also available for lots of other reasons, but that's one. Bacitracin is a peptide. Losartan, which is a blood pressure medicine, is a peptide. So they're infiltrated. They're everywhere now. People just don't know them as peptides. The newer classes of weight loss medications are peptides. These things like Wegovy and what's the other one?
Ozempic?
Saxenda. Yes. Oh, so Ozempic is only FDA approved for diabetes. So that's how we talk about it. But semaglutide, yes, exactly, is the generic name for the drug. And that's a peptide. It's a modified peptide, but yes. And then there is the CGRP agonists, which are used for migraine medicines. And so those are, they actually work on all pain receptors. So it's interesting, we can use them in lots of different patients. And one of the ways I use them in my patients is treating some patients who have fibromyalgia, but that is another peptide. So there are tons of them on the horizon.
So basically, they're protein fragments that have all these functions in our body for different purposes. And I had no idea that these things she just listed off that most of us have heard of, these weight loss drugs, insulin, oxytocin, we've heard of these things. They're all peptides.
Yeah. And we create them ourselves in the body.
Exactly. So this is how we get into the discussion of how they work. And this is going to relate to our skincare application of this too. But one way to explain it is that these are naturally occurring substances in the body, and they essentially prompt your body to do certain things. So this is an example that I'm making up. I don't know if this is actually true, so I just want to be very clear. But for example, right, instead of taking a pain medication that, you know, works in some way to dull your pain receptors, you might inject some peptides that plug into your cells in a certain way and then prompt your body's own pain-fighting response. That would be kind of the difference. Again, I completely made that up, but anyway, this is a reason that this is considered an emerging and exciting field of medicine, because they're finding that it might hold promise for treatments of all sorts of ailments and diseases, you know, by essentially manipulating your cells into doing things that we want our bodies to do that they become less good at doing with age, if that makes sense.
Like producing collagen.
Exactly. Collagen is a peptide.
Oh my God, collagen's a peptide?
Yeah.
I just had no idea.
Yeah, so Dr. Free said, you know, this is a really big and fast-moving area of medicine that has many applications beyond just the aesthetics.
So there are tons of them on the horizon. Most of the pharmaceutical companies are moving to doing research in these peptides because of their similarity to what our bodies naturally make. They don't tend to be rejected by the immune system. They don't tend to have a lot of side effects because of that origin, you know, because of them being naturally derived effectively.
And one of the things I learned from the Goop article is that up until this point, there's been more anecdotal evidence and research on using peptides in medicine than there have been long-term kind of hard science studies. And I've learned just by doing this podcast that money really drives scientific research, right? If funding isn't there to do these studies, they're not going to get done. And I learned from this Goop article that until recently, peptides were hard to classify as intellectual property. So they couldn't be proprietary, right? Which meant that pharmaceutical companies didn't have a lot of incentive to do long-term studies on them because the money-making possibilities were limited. But now different companies have been able to make slight changes and adjustments to certain peptides, and then that makes them able to patent those peptides.
Like semaglutide.
Mm-hmm, right. That's what led to Ozempic, apparently. That's an example, right, of that peptide. How do you pronounce it? She said it, now I forget.
Oh, yeah.
Semaglutide.
Yes. Semaglutide. Yes. Something like that.
Right. Ozempic is a tweaked version of that. And so because of this, now suddenly the field is moving quickly and might be about to like really
blow up.
Yes. According to the Goop article, they quote Dr. Julius Few, a plastic surgeon who is part of the Goop family, who we've talked about before. And he said, quote, "The research engine is on."
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to back up for one second because I wanted to just back up slightly and tell you a little more about Dr. Free and her interest in this. Her bio that her team sent along said, "Dr. Free spends her free time studying cellular medicine, Christianity, and powerlifting."
Okay.
She spends her free time, yeah, studying cellular medicine. So iconic. I was like, I have to talk to this woman.
Yeah.
I love that. That's an awesome...
Quite a trifecta.
It is. It's awesome. And I also just have a natural bias towards people who... I'm going off on a tangent, but I just really enjoyed talking to her, and I think she's an interesting person. And I have a natural bias towards people who like have interests that appear on the surface contradictory, right? You always hear about like, oh, faith and science are, you know, two different things. And I think it's a sign of a smart person that can marry the two things.
Incorporate faith into their
exactly.
life. And then powerlifting.
So I was like, yes, this sounds like a smart person that I want to talk to.
Yeah,
and she did not disappoint. But I did ask her because she has this whole clinic in Atlanta where she does peptide therapy of all kinds for all sorts of different patients all the time. And so I wanted to know how she just got into this in the first place. So she explained it, and I thought that was interesting.
I was a competitive runner for a long time, and I injured my hip and was unable to continue competing. And so I had to figure out another way to keep active just for my own health, my own body health. And so I was looking for ways to do that. I had already done quite a bit of research in functional medicine, was already practicing functional medicine, and was trying to figure out how to cure this hip injury so I could go back to running. Well, I went to this conference, just a conference that I typically went to, an industry event, and they had a lecture on PEG MGF, which is one of the peptides that's a derivative of growth hormone that's directly injected into an area of injury after an injury for recovery and for repair. The interesting thing is, without the pegylation, which is part of the way that the peptide is made, the MGF is actually a fragment of growth hormone that is created by, or of IGF-1, which is created by the body in response to injury. So there's a little bit of that already present at the site of injury. Of course, as we age, the amount of that that's present is decreased. So if we can exogenously inject some synthetic version of the same thing, then we are just helping the area to heal faster. And so that was how that started, was, wow, oh my gosh, there's something else I didn't know about that I need to learn about. So I started doing all this research, going online. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that we as physicians in general miss the boat on. And I understand why. It's the distance between bench medicine and clinical seeing patients medicine. There's so much research that's out there that we don't know about. There was hundreds of articles, thousands of articles on using peptides in medicine, and none of it was being used except for insulin. So that was my journey to reach where we were. I did some research. I went to some classes. I did some of my own experimentation, and then found a lab that would make this for me and started using it in my own patients. That was about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, really interesting. So she just had this personal experience, and then this professional event that happened to have a lecture that was, you know, related to what she was dealing with, and that led her to do more research and create a practice out of this. It's interesting. So she, to be clear, she uses peptides in her medical practice, Dr. Free, to help patients who have immune-related diseases, diseases like MS, or asthma, or severe allergies, infections. She works with athletes also who need help recovering or who get sports-related injuries. So she's doing all kinds of things with peptides that we're not even going to get into for our purposes. Uh-huh. Often these are, I was curious, like, what does this actually look like? And a lot of the time it's injections, but she said there is also a growing number of pill forms of these peptides, and even topical lotions or substances that are absorbed through the skin. Now we want to get to how this applies to skincare. Right?
Yes, we do.
Jennifer Aniston gets peptide injections, allegedly, that prompt their whatever peptide she's having injected is a kind that helps your body create more of its own collagen, which sounds pretty good.
Sounds amazing.
Doesn't sound very accessible, though, to the normal person.
No.
Not at all. So one of the things Dr. Free said is, you know, as we age, our bodies just don't make as many peptides as they once did.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her, let's get to the real, the meat of this for our purposes, right? How does this relate to vanity and, you know, just aesthetic stuff?
To the face.
Right. So here's what she said. She does mention one skincare line in particular in this answer, Vitaly, which, just FYI, she does work with them doing research-related stuff. So, you know, she does have a dog in that fight, but just anyway, but she does plug them in her answer. But here's how she talks about how this applies to aesthetics.
There are a couple of peptides that we use specifically for aesthetics. And we use them for hair loss, for nail growth, for skin for the lack of improving the appearance of skin, fine lines, wrinkles, the tiny pores, that sort of thing, the texture of the skin. And so there are several that we use for that. There are topical ones. My favorite is the Vitali skincare line, which has GHKCU. That's the copper peptide that probably lots of people have talked about. GHKCU improves the stemness of your cells in your skin. So all of our organs have stem cells in them. Those stem cells immediately go to the site of injury and cause repair. And so if we can improve the ability of those stem cells to function by giving you a peptide like GHKCU, this is the copper peptide, then, and this is a tiny little peptide, GHK, it's just 3 amino acids long, but it's tied to a copper molecule and then, a mineral. And so then this allows your body to improve the skin appearance, fine lines, wrinkles, texture, the size of pores, all of those things. It's available topically. It's available by injection. These, obviously, people don't always want to inject, but many of them will do really well if you do a derma stamp or a derma roller on the face and then apply it. Of course, we don't want to use those too often, derma stamps and derma rollers, because then you can create a condition of fibrosis or additional scar tissue formation in the skin, which was not desirable on the face or in the scalp. Fibrous tissue scarring in the face or the scalp can affect the ability of the hair to form, the ability of the skin to be nice and smooth. So doing a derma stamp or derma roller once or twice at most a week is probably ideal. And then using something like a copper peptide or using one of the thymus gland peptides can be really helpful in allowing the skin to improve its youthful appearance.
All right. She says this copper peptide can go into your cells, essentially go into your DNA and change the way DNA is expressed so that it is expressing a more youthful version of itself. And she says there has been some research comparing this particular peptide to retinol and vitamin C, showing that it's more effective against wrinkles and fine lines and improving collagen formation in the skin. Yes, although she did also say that she recommends a kind of cyclical type program where you don't have to get rid of those ingredients, but maybe you incorporate some peptide serum along with those things, like you alternate it with retinol. So separate from this conversation, went online and looked up copper peptide serums, because that's what she's talking about. So she talked about this particular brand, Vitali.
Yes.
I'm saying it wrong. She works with them. So, you know, of course, there's an interest there in promoting them, but it looks like, you know, an interesting brand. Their tagline is regenerative skincare. They're not cheap.
No.
So they have some serums that range from, I'm looking at one here, $119 up to $189.
Yeah, there's like a bundle, a face and body restoration collection with copper peptides for $329, reduced from $386.
Yeah, and it looks like it has a face cream, a body cream, an eye cream in it. So not cheap. I found there are other options too. I found an article on birdie.com with the headline, "Copper peptides are like nature's Botox. Here's how to use them." So it's kind of an explainer. And it says here that you cannot use them with vitamin C at the same time. So that's really important to know. They do not play well with vitamin C. It will irritate your skin. You can use them at different times. Like you could still use your vitamin C during the day and your copper peptide serum at night, but just never at the same time. And also, you can't use it with retinol at the same time. So you could alternate nights, like copper peptides one night and retinol another, but you don't want to mix it with those things. So that's really good to know.
It's interesting you say that, because I have been doing just that. Well, assuming that the Goop Jeans Youth Boost peptide serum has copper in it, I put on my SoulCeuticals vitamin C with ferulic, and then I move on to the Goop Jeans.
Oh, but interesting.
Like, my skin's been feeling great.
Maybe it's fine. I don't know what's in the Goop Jeans.
I'm just looking at it now. I'm just trying to see if I can see copper anywhere.
I think it has some sort of peptides in it.
It definitely does, because it's on the, that's on the label. But I'm just, yeah, let me just have a look and see.
There are some inexpensive options out there, like The Ordinary makes a copper peptide serum. I personally have kind of soured on The Ordinary a bit.
Me too.
I just don't love their products. And like,
no,
I just, they're just not cosmetically elegant in any way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. They, you know, they appeal to a certain person who has a no-frills approach to skincare. It, that's not me.
Yeah, no.
And yeah, and I don't even know, I haven't experienced great results using their products.
I haven't either. I did for a while like their, they had a, what did they call it? Grand Active Retinoid 2% serum that was sort of came in like an oily type substance. It was, I don't know, it was nice at night, but like I didn't notice anything dramatic. But other than that, yeah, I find their products just sort of blah and also confusing because they have a lot of products that are just pure niacinamide or pure vitamin C. And I just don't know what to do with those things.
That's their problem. They just blind us with a huge long list of products. And there's, I don't know where to start. So I don't start at all.
Exactly.
If they sold things in kind of packages, I think they do kind of do bundles of things. But in any case, it's too much, too many names, too many bottles. Everything's looking the same. And it's just, I'm sorry, but it's just not expensive enough. And that just gives me some, I begin to wonder, you know?
Oh, agree. But if you just Google copper peptide serum, you can find many options. These are actually accessible products. I have to admit, like, I am hesitant to incorporate a whole new ingredient into my regimen. Like, it's not great for the purposes of this podcast where I want to be trying different things all the time. But I do tend to be like, you know, I kind of believe that most products are designed to work over time. So if I find one that I like, I just want to stick with it and just, you know.
Yeah, of course. And that's really the best direction for your skin as well. You don't want to keep chopping and changing like some kind of promiscuous lover, you know. But you know, it gets a bit boring using the same thing every day in, day out, and then something sparkly comes along. And that's in, like, as soon as I went on the Vitaly website and I saw that there was a discount, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just buy, maybe this will be the, maybe this will, this be, will be the product the that one. Really works for me, you know,
the one.
And I have a graveyard of skincare products in my cabinet in my bathroom based on that whole thought process, you know, this will be the one. I buy it. It's not the one. I move on.
I know. Totally. Well, you and Brian Johnson both have skincare graveyard. Yes. Yeah. So I don't know. Gorgeous. I mean, I'm willing to try these copper peptides. It sounds interesting. I will say the Goop article references kind of briefly that the whole world of peptide medicine is emerging, and it has this line in it: the medical community is divided on the issue. I have not researched any of the skepticism around this form of medicine. I don't feel qualified to comment on it. So that's just a note to listeners to take our discussion with a grain of salt. We're not experts qualified to sort through all that. But if you're a peptide skeptic who's qualified to discuss it and you're interested in coming on the show, you can always email us.
We would love that.
lotioninthebasketpod@gmail.com. But yeah, so, you know, there's apparently unknowns with this, you know, like there are with anything that you talk about that's medical, but we're just not even getting into it because are not qualified.
We're just not qualified and we don't have the energy.
Exactly. But, and we're just interested in the copper peptide serums anyway, because that's the only way that we would use these.
All the collagen peptides, you know, anything that is a topical treatment. Yeah, totally.
Now I'll let Dr. Free have the last word, because we did have a really interesting conversation. We got into a lot of things that we're not even going to get into on our podcast, but I did ask her a kind of general question at the end, like, as part of this discussion, is there anything I didn't ask about that you think is important to say? And she just made an interesting point that I think is an interesting one to end this portion of the show on.
I think one of the things that's really important is to know that there are lots of things available that are out there for us to use to treat our patients that are not standard of care, meaning there's tons of research. There's actually, especially in animals, there's some research in humans. And so we just need to be aware that there's lots of things out there. And if your doctor is in the least bit curious, they can begin to research. There's so much out there. So don't miss the opportunity to heal parts of you that have been, that the doctor said, oh, you know, there's really just nothing we can do.
So I just thought that was an interesting general note on medicine, because, right, we've all had that experience of having a very unfulfilling visit to the doctor.
Oh, God, nearly every time.
Where you just, something is nagging you and they're just dismissive or eager to get you out of there or whatever it is. And yeah, I just thought that was an interesting little plug for being your own advocate as much as possible. I mean, of course, you know, we can't really, all of us can't spend our time going nuts, you know, researching things online, but I just thought that was an interesting general note when we're talking about medical things.
Yeah, and it's true. And it's like, don't take no for an answer. You don't want to become a doctor if you're not a doctor right now. But it's always good to get a second opinion and also just do some research.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought that was general good advice.
Yes,
it was.
That's uplifting for me.
Me too. Anything else on our agenda today?
I think I'm all peptided out at this point.
I know, right? Oh, so much peptide talk.
But thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Yeah. So maybe just for the sake of the podcast, I will try some copper peptides and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to see if I can find some affordable copper peptides that aren't made by the ordinary and give them a whirl.
All right. Excellent.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We still haven't come up with a tagline.
We haven't.
But maybe that is our new tagline. We don't have one.
We don't have a tagline. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.